Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. The argument that law school should be 2 years instead of three isn't new, but the idea got renewed prominence last month when President Obama said this on a stop at Binghamton University in New York during his college affordability bus tour.
I believe, for example, that law schools would probably be wise to think about being 2 years instead of 3 years. Because by the third year... But in the first 2 years, young people are learning in the classroom. The third year, they'd be better off clerking or practicing in a firm, even if they weren't getting paid that much. But that step alone would reduce the cost for the student.
This from a man who, of course, is a lawyer himself, probably the most prominent graduate of Harvard Law School. But rethinking the third year of law school is only one idea for how to innovate in the legal profession. Northeastern University, for example, just launched a new innovation laboratory, and Suffolk University has a new Institute on Law Practice, Technology, and Innovation. So, are we detecting a theme here?
Listeners, and especially listeners who are lawyers or who've gone to law school, tell us how this system could be transformed. If you thought your third year was unnecessary, maybe you even thought more harshly about it than that, tell us why. Tell us how you think law schools could teach students better. And if you're a practicing lawyer of any kind or an ex-practicing lawyer, tell us what you think is wrong with the legal profession and how it can be improved and how technology could help. Tell us what frustrates you and whether you've thought of a way to fix it. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us in the studio to talk about this are three people: Northeastern University law professor Luke Bierman. He's associate dean for experiential education and also faculty director of the school's new legal innovation laboratory called the New Law Lab. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you.
Also with us, Scott Kirshner, a frequent guest on Radio Boston, innovation economy columnist for the Boston Globe. Scott recently wrote a column about startup companies that are pitching new technologies to law firms and corporate legal departments. Scott, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And also Adam Ziegler. He's an attorney. He's organizer of the Boston Legal Innovation Meetup. And he's co-founder of Moodus, which is a website that helps lawyers share legal knowledge. So thanks to all of you for making the trip in. And
thank
I
you.
Think that to talk about how law school and the practice of law could be better, we first need to talk about the problems, the flaws. You know, what makes, for example, people like President Obama say ditch year three of law school? So Adam Ziegler, why don't we start with you? You've worked in the law in multiple capacities. Give us a sense of the frustrations you've felt, the ones that drove you to create the startups that you have, and how you think technology can help with all that.
Sure, and thank you very much for having me. There are a ton of problems with legal services, with the practice of law, with legal education. So we can only scratch the surface today. My personal experience as a lawyer who spent 10 years as a litigator here in Boston and elsewhere was a real sense of frustration with how hard it was for me to be both efficient and to do good quality work. Ironically, it was very hard for me to get what I needed to do done without having to reinvent the wheel, without having to redo things I knew had been done before. And that's what that frustration is what drove me initially to found Moodus.
What's an example of when you felt like, I can't believe I'm recreating the wheel here for something that's been done so many times before?
The best example in my world is pretty much any form of legal research. Lawyers are constantly on a hunt for authority or precedent that speaks to a given issue. And by definition, that hunt has been done before. It's very, very, very rare that a lawyer will be spending time doing something that's novel. So from my perspective, it was ridiculous that we as lawyers had to redo that work time and time again instead of having some way to reach out and tap into the prior experience or the knowledge or the expertise of others. And that's what led me to found Moodus.
So tell us what Moodus does, how it's supposed to help remedy that.
Sure. Moodus is a website. It basically does three things. The first thing it does is it allows lawyers, like I was, to tap into the expertise and the knowledge and the efforts of people outside of their organization, which is somewhat of a radical concept for the legal industry.
Why is that so radical?
Because we've been trained that the only place to look for information is within ourselves or within our firms. And in fact, there's a wealth of information outside of our firms in the minds of others through the efforts of others that we can put to good use for our clients. So that's the first thing that Moody's does. The second thing that Moody's does is it makes it possible for lawyers, particularly young lawyers who are struggling in the current job market, to both practice and prove their skills and their knowledge, to go out there and have the experience of solving a legal issue online through our platform.
And Adam Ziegler, you've also created something or organized something called the Boston Legal Innovation Meetup. This is an actual physical meetup. People come together?
It is it's an actual physical event. We meet on a monthly basis. We've met two times so far. Our next meeting is next week, hosted by Northeastern and the New Law Lab. And what's really exciting about that effort is in a very short time, we've seen a great response from a wide variety of people in the legal industry in Boston. We've even had some inbound interest from outside of Boston, people who are really interested in being proactive about the future of the legal industry, doing something creative and productive with the future rather than just complaining about it or pretending that it's not going to come.
Professor Bierman of Northeastern, you've just heard an indictment of the legal practice, but you are training students to go out and become lawyers. So give us a sense of, first of all, what you find, maybe if you find frustrating about the third year of law school, or what you hear from students about what's frustrating.
So one of the problems that we've tried to confront is the idea that legal education is really done in a way that started over a century ago, and we're educating students in a model that really was created in the late 1800s, and the world today is really quite different than that. Northeastern has had a different model for 50 years where we really combine classroom learning with practice setting, and our students graduate with a full year. It's not just the third year of law school that we've rethought, but rather really the whole educational experience. Right from day one, students should be given opportunities not just to learn in the classroom, but to have that experiential component, to really interact with clients, to learn what really goes on, to figure out how best to learn to be a lawyer and be a lawyer, sort of the idea of self-directed learning.
So similar to the, or identical to the Northeastern undergrad approach of a co-op, law students do that as well.
We've used that model for 50 years, and we believe that it is more effective in professional maturation. Students graduate with a year of hands-on actual knowledge of what it is to be a lawyer.
So despite that program, you've gone ahead and created this law school innovation laboratory, the New Law Lab. What is that supposed to do that Northeastern isn't already doing?
So with this history of innovation and this history of experimentation at Northeastern, we really thought students who are with us today are going to be practicing in 2050, 2075. What are these new technologies? What are the things that other disciplines have already been drawing from? Law is really about two things. It's about information and it's about providing a service. How can we learn from others and think about new ways, even within our innovative and creative and unique program? What are the ways that we can enhance our students' experience so that they'll have lifelong professional learning? They'll be able to adapt to things that change. Heaven knows we all know this is a world that changes on a dime, and our students have to be ready to do that as well.
And the Law Lab says it's supposed to be a place where people can come up with innovative ideas and then experiment with them. So what ideas have come out so far, and has anything been put into practice?
So we're working with a variety of organizations. Adam and this meetup is going to meet at the Law Lab next week. That's an example of how we're trying to encourage new ideas, interesting ideas, to think outside the box. We are working with a couple of organizations that are thinking about new ways of reaching out to potential clients, people with legal needs. We're really focused on the idea that there's a tremendous amount of legal need out there, a tremendous amount of legal services that are being untapped. We talk about the unmet legal needs of Americans. We talk about the inability of some law students to find jobs. There's an opportunity here to match that up, and that's really one of the things that we're very interested in trying to figure out.
So even though the New Law Lab is geared towards making law school a better process and the practice of law better, ultimately it's about serving clients better. Is that the ultimate end goal?
The mission of the Law Lab is to make sure that everybody who has a legal need gets and finds legal services to match it.
Scott Kirshner, let me turn to you, innovation economy columnist at the Boston Globe. As I said, you recently did a column in which you talked about how startups are focusing on law firms and lawyers. You wrote that they see a profession in crisis. What is it about this? Why is that profession in crisis, and why does it make it a great sales opportunity?
Well, I think, you know, since colonial days and the days of John Adams in Boston, you know, attorneys and law firms have been on this upward trajectory, right, of firms getting bigger, but also trying to bill more for every hour. You know, that idea of, you know, your billable hourly rate going from $300 to $500 to $1,000, that's a measure of how attorneys are progressing in their career. And, you know, it's really, it makes legal services unaffordable for a lot of individuals and even a lot of companies. So I just think you're going to see a huge amount of disruption of startup companies saying, look, you know, one thing technology does is it can drive costs down and drive accessibility up. And, you know, we have all these, I think Adam talked about all these recent law school graduates who are out of work or underemployed. Technology is going to put those people to use, and it's going to create this army of, you know, legal minds that you can tap into on an hourly basis. You know, it's going to be Uber for lawyers. You know, hey, I need an attorney for half a day tomorrow to look over a contract, and I want them to come to my office. I don't want to go to their, you know, $30,000 a month office in downtown Boston with the great views. So I think a lot of the entrepreneurs are really circling this opportunity and saying, you know, rather than seeing costs go up forever and law firms get bigger and bigger, you know, let's use the internet and mobile technology to really, you know, explode that.
And in your column, you gave a little roundup of companies that are doing this. Give a sense of some of the services or the software, or what is it they're trying to sell to law firms?
You know, the coolest thing I saw just around this idea of prices is this startup called Sky Analytics. And what they do is a company gives them all their legal bills from the last year or 5 years or whatever, and they analyze it to try to understand comparable pricing. You know, gee, we seem to be paying a lot of money for this attorney, you know, for this attorney at a law firm to deal with a patent issue or a trademark issue maybe, but we're paying much less and getting the same result from this other attorney at a different firm. So just that idea of being able to compare apples to apples and understand where are you paying money and getting a lot, you know, paying a lot of money and not really getting much in return versus where's your money getting a better return, you know, that's going to be hugely disruptive and force law firms to compete in a way they've never had to compete, which is price. You know, they always want to compete on smarts and on how beautiful the office is and, you know, maybe their reputation over the last 100 years. But, you know, price is going to come into this.
Listeners, we're talking about two things. One is the proposal that the third year of law school be eliminated, perhaps radically, and also the idea that many law firms need to innovate. They need technology and some companies that are focusing on law firms to try to help them do that. You can call us at 1-800-909. Actually, you can call us at 1-800-423-8255. Again, that's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Scott Kirshner, you have said that you actually have found some resistance, however, among lawyers. Why are they reluctant or hesitant to adopt these new practices?
You know, I think the issue is just that, you know, law firms are run by the senior partners who've been in the business the longest. And Adam and other entrepreneurs know that those are the guys, you know, they have retirement and, you know, their house on Nantucket in mind. And so I think they're just loath to take profits out of the firm and out of their pocket to invest in that next generation of technology. You know, it's the younger, the associates or those recent law school grads that are just the most tech savvy and the most interested in, you know, how can we change this profession? How can we make our lives more efficient? How could we maybe work, you know, incredible high productivity 50-hour weeks instead of having to grind away working 80-hour weeks for the first few years of your career?
We have a caller who went to law school. This is Jerry calling from North Andover. And Jerry, your thoughts about all of this?
Good afternoon. I find it fascinating that the discussion is focusing on what seems to be called the legal industry. Once upon a time, it was a learned profession. It wasn't all about money. Obviously, that's changed. And I think one of the things that's been written up endlessly about that is that the law schools are phenomenally profitable enterprises for their host universities. And therefore, there's no incentive to do anything about the vast oversupply of lawyers in this country, which leads to too many laws, too many regulations, too much litigation, too much interference with everybody else's lives by lawyers who are desperately clawing for every crumb. So my modest proposal is not to do away with the third year of law school, but my modest proposal would be to close all the law schools in the country for at least maybe 20 years and let demand catch up with supply. I'll close with one thing. 25 years out of an Ivy League law school, 45% of my classmates said they would not do it again.
So anyone who had hoped to go to law school in the next 20 years would unfortunately miss out on that. You'd have the window would reopen in 20 years. Let me turn to Luke Bierman, professor. You're a dean. You're on faculty. How do you defend the academic industry here?
I'm not sure that there's really an oversupply, or there's definitely a need for lawyers to be matched up with the legal needs of the country, and that's something that you know we have not done as well as we could. The huge growth, not just in the legal profession, the number of lawyers over the middle part, last half of the 20th century, there's clearly a disruption going on in the economy, in our culture, in a variety of places. And, you know, law has not quite caught up to all of that. And I think the efforts of people like Adam and the people that Scott wrote about demonstrate that there really is an interest in trying to figure out how to make that need. I'm not sure closing law schools for 20 years is quite the right answer.
Adam Ziegler, are you thinking of anything quite that radical?
No, and I think it's actually much more about dysfunction than it is oversupply. I think that, in fact, we don't have enough lawyers, and the problem is that the lawyers we have aren't serving the clients who really need their help. So we have this bizarre scenario where there are lawyers who can't get work. At the same time, there are a whole lot of clients who can't get help. And so that's dysfunction, not, strictly speaking, oversupply. And what we're trying to work on, and what a lot of companies, what a lot of law schools are trying to work on, is finding a sustainable way to better match the supply with the demand, or the need with the demand.
If I can add to that, I'm really intrigued by some of these ideas. The idea that you know we're trying to figure out how to match this up. There's no shortage of ideas out there, but trying to put some of those ideas in place at a time when there is a century or a century more of infrastructure is really a challenge. And I think that's a large part of what we're trying to figure out, what we're trying to adjust. We are, you know, in some ways, using an old analogy, you know, trying to move a battleship or an aircraft carrier when our society and the changes that are going on are happening very rapidly. Lawyers are really a small C. I don't mean politically, but a conservative group of people. We're trained to think about ordered change. We're trained to put brakes on society moving too quickly. That does militate away from, you know, the kinds of rapid transformation we've seen in the music industry or other kinds of information industries that have really taken off and become part of our culture very quickly.
I used to cover lawyers and law firms, and one theme I often heard from lawyers that they were actually surprised how much of a business it was. They really thought it would be this sort of just intellectual thinking, and all of a sudden it's really more of a sales job. You know, you got to generate business. You have to sort of build your book. And I wonder, Scott Kirshner, if part of what these startups you wrote about are doing is trying to say, look, you may wish it were just a ruminating intellectual kind of profession, but in fact, there are a lot of very business side things you need to do, and here's software that can help you do them.
Yeah, and I think here's software and you know, digital technologies that are going to turn it from a priesthood, you know, from this craft that you ascend to, really to more of a marketplace, you know, where, gee, you may want the $1,000 an hour guy who's the expert in his field, but, you know, you may want someone who's going to do a look at a contract for $50 an hour.
More of a commodity kind of role.
Yeah, yeah. And I often think, you know, the Angie's List model, you know, it works great for plumbers and for getting a landscape architect over to your house. But that sort of thing is going to work for the law, too.
Some of the other companies you wrote about, Scott, in your column talked about a web-based system to streamline production of documents, online tools for negotiating, you know, touchy issues, getting price quotes from various attorneys. And, you know, certainly I would think, Professor Bierman, not the kind of thing that many law students are trained or introduced to in law school.
No, that's right. And that is something that, you know, a lot of schools are trying to think about so that we train our students better. But, you know, once those databases are created, and I'm really struck by this, once those databases are created, I mean, that is a little bit of a tedious job, right? Creating databases, figuring out what the important information is and entering it in ways that it can be used. But then the use of it, that's a whole different thing. That's really something that we can train lawyers with a very specific service orientation, how to analyze that data, how to use that data for their clients, to think about what it means for potential litigation or dispute solving or negotiating contracts. That's the really interesting thing that I think we haven't focused enough on as we think about retooling a legal education and getting lawyers to do not the traditional jobs, which are going away, or at least not growing the way we'd like to see it, but rather creating and inventing new jobs using these new kinds of ways of helping people. Because that's ultimately, when we talk about the legal profession, it's about helping people. We want to use that data, not just collect it, but use it in a way that we can really help people do the things that they want to do better, more efficiently, and cheaper.
We have another caller. This is Roger from Cambridge. And Roger, you are a law school grad?
That's right. In fact, I was at law school with the president.
Ah, you were in President Obama's law school class? You went to the same law school as the president.
He was actually a year behind me.
Okay.
I was class of 89. And I have to say, I was shocked when I heard him say that he would delete the third year of the law school program. To me, there's a certain basic set of legal knowledge that all lawyers need to have. And I can't imagine possibly acquiring that in less than 2 years. And then the third year provides an opportunity to not just take electives and begin to specialize in an area of law where you hope to make your career, but more important than that even, it provides an opportunity for participation in these wonderful clinical programs that law schools have with all the infrastructural support of a law school making it possible, whether it's Harvard Defenders, the Prisoner Legal Assistance Program, but opportunities to get out there, engage in the practice of law, test the waters, develop some expertise that you and then market to employers. It may be the case that the third year could be improved if it were geared a little bit toward the model of colleges, where you, in effect, major in a particular area of the law or at least specialize to some degree and acquire a more narrow range of skills in that third year that, again, would improve your job prospects. So that's a possibility for tweaking the program. But again, you know, there's no set time within which you can learn a skill. But to me, the notion that you can learn what it takes be a lawyer, the basic skills in less than 2 years seems implausible. And then that third year provides a crucial opportunity to really begin to specialize in something that you want to spend the rest of your life doing.
And certainly, Roger, many schools have focused on making year three sort of the clinical experience. Adam Ziegler, it looked like you may have been shaking your head at one point as you listened to this caller's comment.
Well, I think that part of what President Obama's comment acknowledges is that times have changed. And I went to law school about 10 years ago, graduated in 2002. And at that time, I would have said, coming out of law school, that the third year was tremendous. It was really valuable. It really advanced my sense of what it means to be a lawyer and how to execute, how to help my clients. But it's really different now. There are so many students who are graduating with immense debt, without the skills they need to land a job, and with no job opportunities. So when I think about what the president said, I really focus much more beyond the superficial question of how many years to the deeper question, which is, what are they paying, what are they getting, and what do the opportunities look like for them when they graduate? And I think that's really where we should be focused, much more so than just the number of years.
Do you think from your law school experience that you had learned all you needed after 2 years and could have passed the bar and didn't need year three?
Well, the truth is, no matter how long, you cannot learn what you need to know to really be a practicing lawyer
until you're
a practicing lawyer. But I think that I could have passed the bar. Most law students could pass the bar very early on in their legal career if they really focused on it. But it's not really about passing the bar, because even the bar doesn't test what lawyers do. It's a real mismatch between what's taught in law school, what you need to pass the bar, and then what you need to be a effective lawyer. And that's a big problem that we need to address.
I think that's why we're seeing so much change in the legal curriculum right now, in the law school curriculum, with schools really adding to the classroom experiences, not just clinic, but a variety of other things. Third year is where it seems to be happening, but it's that mismatch that we've heard about that we really see a response to.
I want to quickly go to a last caller. This is Larry calling from Belmont. And Larry, we probably only have 30 seconds or so, but give us your thoughts. I understand you've been practicing for 40 years.
I've been practicing 40 years, and I agree that beyond just studying cases, it's going to be very important for law students or young lawyers to get some type of training, whether it's through internship, clinical programs, or whatever, to really hone down their skills. And just being trained through case law doesn't do the trick, and I think the world will evolve. And this is a very interesting show.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. So I want to thank all three of you for making the trip to the studio. Again, we've been talking about, first, the idea that maybe the third year of law school is unnecessary. And second, we've been talking with, among them, Adam Ziegler, who has started something called the Boston Legal Innovation Meetup, and also a website called Mootus, M-O-O-T-U-S, where lawyers can save and share and reuse legal knowledge. We've been talking to Scott Kirshner. He's the innovation economy columnist for the Boston Globe. He wrote a column recently about startups that are focusing on law firms and trying to sort of persuade them to adopt new technologies. And finally, Professor Luke Bierman. He's at Northeastern University. He's an associate dean for experiential education. He's also faculty director of the school's new innovation laboratory, which is called the New Law Lab. So thanks very much to all of you for coming in.
Thanks, Sasha.
Thanks an awful lot.
Thank you.
And stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.